Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. So today is an amazing day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, correct? So if you're rejoicing and if you're glad that you woke up this morning, let me hear a shout. If you're glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning, let me hear a shout like never before. And if you're ready to give God praise, let me just hear you say amen.
And it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room with my name on it. So I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, sing it out. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's take it to the verse. There's a miracle in this room with my name. There's a healing in this room. And it's healing. There's a breakthrough in it. Hey. Come on, talk to me. So what you gonna do now?
So I'm gonna put a praise on.
So I'm gonna put a praise. Hey. Hey, yeah. There's a miracle. There's a miracle. If a miracle is in this room, let me see. Come on. If it's here for you, let me hear it. So what you gonna do now?
So I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hallelujah. I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Hey. So I'm gonna put a praise.
So I'm gonna put a praise.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on.
There's a healing in this room. If you're here for healing, let me hear you.
There's a breakthrough, yeah, with my name on it. So what you gonna do now?
So I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on, clap it up with us.
I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
If you're gonna put a praise.
There's a miracle in this room.
There's a healing right here in this room, and it's here for you.
There's a breakthrough, yeah, with my name on it. So what you gonna do now?
So I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Sing, I'm gonna put a praise.
One in the If you believe that you are here to put a praise on your finances, a praise on your troubles, hallelujah. Thank you, God. You are beloved.
Woo! Hallelujah. Are you excited what Jesus is doing? How many of you love God this morning? Why don't you take 5 minutes, go meet somebody you don't know. Go shake their hand, tell them I love you. Go find somebody you don't know this morning. Shake their hand. Tell them, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. If you're watching by live stream, we're excited. God's going to do great things right where you are. Make sure you text somebody right now and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. Come on, get right on your phone. Text somebody right now. Maybe text 3 or 4 folks. Let them know that Jesus is alive. And ask them to watch right now. Watch right now, right on this live stream, on this program, to watch His Tabernacle Family Church.
What a great day. Isn't it an awesome day to be in the presence of the Lord? I want to remind everybody we're doing service a little bit different today. We're going to be getting into and going into our announcements and then into the offering. And then we're going to be preaching the word. And then we're finishing out the service by practicing what we're learning in the message. We're going to create an atmosphere in this environment for the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way. And I want you to know my prayer. My prayer is that not one of you will leave this building without tangibly feeling the presence of Jesus. That's what I've been praying for. And so I'm believing that every one of you are going to physically feel the presence of Jesus. If you position yourself in this atmosphere, God will touch you. So don't stand aloof. Does everybody know what aloof means? That's an old person's term. Aloof means you're standing back and just watching. You got to step into the atmosphere. Amen? Anybody ever stepped into a cloud before? When you step into a cloud, it's just you're surrounded. And that's what we're doing. We're going to surround ourselves with the presence of Jesus. Pastor Obina Igbo is going to come.
Cue the video. Hey family, guess what? We have our annual family picnic coming up in just a few weeks. On August 13th, after second service at the Harris Hill Youth Camp, you're all invited to join us for a time of food, fun, games, and fellowship. Please bring an extra large dish to pass so that we can all have more than enough food to feast on. So again, that'll be after second service on August 13th at the Harris Hill Youth Camp. We can't wait to see you there.
We have, on August 6th, our Awaken Monthly Service. It's going to be at 5:30 p.m. It's going to be so much fun. We had our slip and slide kickball last month. This month, it's going to be an end of summer party, and it is going to be great. We're going to have free food, free drinks, and a lot of games and a full service. So we will see you here at 5:30 August 6th.
His tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all sound dead. No, that's not gonna cut it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need y'all to give your king a shout of praise. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Yeah. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We're so excited that you are here. If this is your first time here, can we just see your hand? Any first time guests? We have one right over there, one in the middle. Come on, give it up for our first time guests. Amen. We have one over here, correct? We have one over here. Please keep your hands raised. We have a gift for you. I believe we have a mug in there and some other brochures and stuff. So please, we are so excited you are here. And we would love for you to join us afterwards on this side of the building for a guest reception. So thank you again for coming to fellowship with us today. Give it up one more time for our guests. Amen. Livestream family, we love you. We welcome you and we honor you guys as well. So who here is excited for this week? Who knows what is this week? Come on, this is the Uproar Conference this week. Yeah, literally thousands of students coming from across the entire country to come here to Little Old Horse Hills, Elmira area to receive a fresh impartation from the Lord. So we are excited. We're so excited. And we want to just cover Pastor Cody and Mindy in prayer as they're leading this charge. And as well, I believe that today at 1:30 at First Arena, there's a volunteers meeting. And also, if you want to continue to sow into the youth, you may do so. Just place your check in Pastor Cody's hand. He will not say no. Amen. So we are so excited for what God's going to do this week. Keep Upward Conference lifted up in prayer all week. It's going to be an amazing time. Amen. Then August 13th, our family picnic. Who is excited for that? All right, that was like two people. Who is excited for the family picnic? Remember to bring an extra large, I like to eat, extra large dish to pass and your drinks and get ready for a time of fellowship. And there's a 99% chance Pastor will play I Got It on his guitar. So if you guys want to come out for that, that's going to be awesome as well. Amen? All right, at this time I'm going to have Pastor Rhonda.
Awesome. That was a lot of fun putting some praise on our breakthrough this morning, wasn't it? I love when the devil pushes me to just put some praise on. It's a lot of fun. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offering, we've been talking on what the tithe is and what it actually means. And tithe means 10%. The word actually means 10%. And we went through the scripture, the word of God, where it shows that the tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord. It doesn't even belong to us. Now today I want to bring you the word of the Lord from Haggai 1:6. And this is what happens when we don't tithe. Have you ever felt like, man, there's holes in your pocket and you just can't be satisfied, and your money's going out and your wages come in, and it doesn't matter how much you make, but your wages are coming in and you still just don't have enough? The word of God tells us in Haggai that because we focused on our own house, neglected his house, and haven't obeyed, that the blessing of the Lord has actually been lifted off of our lives. And so in Haggai 1:6, it says, "You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but don't have enough. You drink, but you're not satisfied. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm enough. And he who earns wages just to put them in a bag with holes in it, because the Lord has lifted his blessing." And that whole passage talks about they were focused on their own selves and not obedience to the house of God. And when, in the end of that, after he had presented that, they changed their ways, and it says that God returned his blessing to them. And then in famine and in hard times, they were blessed and there were no more. And he will rebuke the devourer on your part. So it's so important that we take the word of God and apply it to our own finances. You know, we can obey in every other area and not obey in the finances and leave feeling frustrated and discouraged. And why isn't the blessing of God on my life? And right here, it shows why. And we need to be obedient in our tithe, which is holy to the Lord. It does not belong to us. And when we tithe and then we sow, whatever you sow, you will reap. And we've heard testimony after testimony of harvest from sowing. And we're still in our generous campaign. And our very first event from the generous campaign is happening this week in Uproar. So we need to make sure that we are being faithful into sowing, and this is good ground. We have exciting news about Uproar. Uproar is a powerful conference, but it doesn't end there. It is now being brought into the local high school. They've asked Pastor Cody to do a character building class in the high school, the public high school. So now Uproar is going to be brought to the youth of this region every single week. Wow, that is our seed. That is our seed that we've been sowing for years. So give yourself a hand clap. That's the seed that we've sowed for years is now bringing a harvest weekly into our region. Praise God for the ability to sow seeds. So this, we are still on the generous campaign. Up front, when you bring your offering this morning, there will be golden buckets. That's for your generous seed offering. And then the wicker is for your tithe and offering, which is holy to the Lord. So if you're ready to give, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, repeat after me, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. The Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button. You can give right along with us. Sow your seed, give your tithe. You can also text to give right where you are.
There's a healing in this room, and it's here. There's a breakthrough in this room, in my name. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. And there's a healing in this room, and it's really fair. And there's a breakthrough in this room with my name on it. So what you gonna do now?
So I'm gonna put a
praise the Lord. What a great day this is. I'm excited because I really want to get the preaching of the word done. Preparation so that we can step into that atmosphere, creating that atmosphere. You know, what's exciting is that we can learn how to grow and mature in the presence of the Lord. As we were saying last week, there are many churches that have now extracted the presence of the Holy Spirit. Many churches would rather just have a one-hour service or a 45-minute service, and everybody's in and out, and everyone's done their religious thing, and everybody feels good. They throw George in the plate, and everybody's happy, happy, happy. But you see, we can never be that way. Can I hear an amen? We got to be people that are hungry after the presence of the Lord. We went over the verse last week in Exodus chapter 33, starting with verse 15, dealing with Moses. And this is what Moses said. And Moses said to God, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. Which means this, God, I'm going nowhere without you. I want your presence wherever I go. And if you're not going, I'm not going. A lot of us have gone to a lot of places that God has never been. A lot of us have gone to places that God has never been. And a lot of us have taken God he doesn't want to go. Let's say that one more time. A lot of us have taken God's presence where he does not want to go. You see, we are following him. He is not following us. These are the children of God who are leading God. Oh, that's not what it says. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So the presence of the Lord is imperative for our life. How many here want to be great failures in life? I saw a hand go up, but he retracted quickly. I bet he's going to listen for the rest of the service. Want to be great successes in this world. Understanding what success is success truly is this. Success is not comparing yourself to anybody or being in competition with anybody. True success is fulfilling God's will for your life while you're on this planet. And every one of us, the greatest success that we can ever have is learning how to be led in the presence of the Holy Spirit, learning how to live in the presence of God. And when we learn to live in the presence of God, we cannot fail. You see, you cannot fail when God, the creator of the universe, is with you, leading you, guiding you, and beside you. Listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? It's time to recognize that the presence of the Lord must be pursued with all of our getting, and we've got to get Jesus with everything that we have inside of us. Can I hear an amen? And then the Bible says in verse 16, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? You see, people are going to know that you're a believer, not because you have a Jesus tag on your head or you're wearing, you know, a Jesus shirt or you're wearing a Jesus t-shirt or you have a Jesus tattoo on your body. How do people know that you are truly a son and daughter of God? Because wherever you are is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? That's how the children of Israel were going to be known from everybody else, because the children of Israel were just another people on the planet. But what separated them from everyone else was the presence of their God. My question is God in your presence? Are you taking him? Is he with you when you're going to work? Is he with you at home? Is there an environment that an atmosphere is being procured that he will show up, and not only show up, be evident in that place? You know, I've gone to homes when I traveled, and I would walk into a house, and I would walk in where they would tell me I would be staying. Oh, Jesus, I remember those days. I'll just give you the one. I was in Baltimore, Maryland, and I was staying at a house as I was on the drama team. And in the house was this mature old believer. She was a great woman of God. And they put me in this house alone with this individual. And it was time for bed. So I said, you know, I'm really kind of tired. I'm ready to retire. And she said, well, hold on, I'll get your bedroom ready. And she walked in, pulled the couch out, opened it up, pulled a sheet down the middle of the room. She says, I sleep on this side, you'll sleep on that side. There was an environment, but the wrong atmosphere. You know when you come into a wrong atmosphere. Can I hear an amen? But you know, listen, I've walked into homes that I did not know the people, but I walked in and there was such a peace on that house that you immediately felt rested. You immediately felt at home. You immediately felt the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, is the presence of the Lord evident at your house? Is the presence of the Lord evident in your car? Is the presence of the Lord evident with you at work? You see, this is what the difference was between the children of Israel and every other people on the planet. The Bible says, so shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. No greater compliment, your daddy knowing you by name. Amen. And then Moses said this. I love this. Not just God, don't go, we're not going without your presence. But then he said this, Lord, please show me your glory. There is a difference between the presence of God and the glory of God. The presence of God is the tangible evidence that he is there. But the glory, the word glory, means weightiness. It's when the presence of God is so thick that you can hardly stand in his presence any longer. Chronicles made the declaration. The glory was so strong in the temple one day that the priests could not even stand on their feet. You see, it's time for the believers not just to want the presence of the Lord. And this is where, in my own spirit, I struggled this morning as I was praying on this message again. And the Spirit of God said, there are so many that want the presence of the world more than they want the presence of God. They will never see my glory. And God is calling us back to want the presence back. Listen, we have got to want the presence of the Lord. This is, again, I said one more time, I'll repeat myself again from last week. People that pop in and out of church that are there once every 3 weeks, listen, that is nothing more than a symptom of the true problem. The symptom is that they're not there. The true root problem is they really don't want the presence of God. When you want the presence of the Lord, there is nothing that will stop you. When you want the presence of God, there is no one that's going to get in your way. I've watched men and I've watched women trade out their relationship with Jesus for the presence of another person. But I'm here to tell you, they'll be here today and gone tomorrow. But our God is from everlasting to everlasting. We've got to make a decision that there's only one presence that makes a difference. I have got to be in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I've got to be in the presence of God. And listen, God, I'm not just satisfied with your presence. Show me your glory. You see, when we get to that place, everything changes in our life because our focus changes. Last week we started talking about the environment. This house is the environment of God. It's called the house of God. God does not dwell in this place. He dwells in you and I. For he does not dwell in places made with man's hand. He dwells inside of man. For those who are born again have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So today, we are sitting here. The Bible says one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. The Bible says that the corporate anointing is where the believers come together. The Word of God declares in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself in the matter of some is in the last days. Why? Because Jesus is coming. If we've ever needed the presence before, it's right now. Can I hear an amen? This is just an environment, though. There are churches that are happening all over the world. There are over 120 churches in our region alone. And there are many of them that will not, they'll have an environment, but they will not have the atmosphere of God. And there's a big difference. I'm one of those kind of people, man, you do not want to sit near me when there's no atmosphere for God. I'm going to pick at you, poke at you. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to pinch you. I literally at one point in time was at a church where the presence of the Lord was not strong. And I had a literal entire family get up and move. I am the most irritating individual when God does not captivate me. And what captivates me is not another sermon. What captivates me is not another song. What captivates me is the God that's in the song and the God that's in the word, the God that's in the house. I want the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want the presence of God. I want Jesus to envelop me. I want to feel him like a coat upon me. I want the anointing to come down, even as water would drip over your head, as oil would come down, the very beard of Aaron. I want the presence of God, and I am unwilling to satisfy myself with the presence of this world. We've got to create an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord. You see, it's not God who creates the atmosphere. It's we who create the atmosphere. Listen now, the worship team can be is great evidence. There are times that on a Sunday morning AM service, how many of you have experienced the anointing so strong in this room? It's just like, oh my goodness, that is amazing. But then the second service will come, and it's dead as a doornail. Man, we are working overtime just to get the presence of the Lord to create an atmosphere for God to move. Well, why is that? It's not that the worship team was better first service and not as good the second. The issue is that the people came prepared for the first with a hungering in their heart for the Lord, and in the second, they just had to get to church to meet their religious need. Now, don't be nasty at second service, because it's been flip-flopped just as many times. They're all excited in the background. Hallelujah. But you see, we are the ones who create the atmosphere for God. As we were talking last week, listen, my wife and I could ask her to go out on a date and we could dance and we could have some beautiful music. Come, honey. The only time my wife and I have actually ever really danced was in South Africa, and I stepped on her toe and bent her nail back and brought a lot of blood. Listen, I was brought up in true Pentecost in the old days. A little dance, a little hill. A little dance, a little hill. But you know, I'm not going to move, honey, just for your safety. But you know, when you dance with your wife and, you know, you dance, you know, you want some beautiful music, maybe a little jazz, a little Diana Krall, hallelujah.
You're moving.
I'm moving, I'm sorry. But as you were here last week, when we went up to dance, there was no Diana Krall playing. We were playing some screamo music. And we did that to show you that you could have the right environment, but create the wrong atmosphere. We are the ones responsible to create the atmosphere for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones that come in here and either allow God to move or disallow him to move. We are the ones that procure miracles and signs and wonders. Or we are the ones that say, hurry up. Man, it's almost time. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. And you come in here with your heart not prepared for the presence of the Lord. But many times we have forgotten so much how honestly, we are so blessed to be in the presence of God. It's a tremendous blessing to be in the presence of the Lord, but many of us have taken advantage of it so often we've forgotten how much of a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord. If a king came into a room, man, you would not be just like, well, you know, I know. If your favorite president came into the room, you would not be. If you got invited to the White House, whatever president, like I said last week, you would be honored and you would go there dressed. You would go there prepared. You would go there watching your manners. You would go there watching your manners. You would go there prepared. Why? Because you're stepping into the presence of royalty. I'm here to tell you this morning that in this house, we are not here to serve your religious little attitude. We are here to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we expect the King of Kings to come into this house. We expect his presence to permeate each and every individual. We expect that the anointing will destroy every single yoke. We expect God to show up in this house, or we've all wasted our time. We have got to have the presence of God with all of our getting. We've got to get a hold of Jesus, but Jesus don't come if you don't have the atmosphere. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. We've got to create an atmosphere of honor. Sometimes we're too flippant. We've stepped into the America mode. Now listen, when I was a kid, when I was in Bible school, Bible school was tough. Ladies, you'd have had a hard time at my Bible school. Their dresses were down to their ankles, their cuffs were down to their wrists, and the collars were up around the top of their neck. The men had to wear a tie no matter where you were, suit and tie at all times. Your shoes and your hair could not touch the back of your collar. Man, it was tough. In fact, you couldn't date a girl. If you were dating a girl, you had a 3-foot rule. So we used to dress them up as men, put them in the back of the truck, put them in the trunk, actually, and take them to the beach. So we won't get into that. Let's move forward. But I remember how it was when you came to the presence of the Lord. My uncle, I don't know if he's here in the first service, but my uncle Harold, he was one of the ushers. And he was a rough usher. I mean, I was a bad child. I always waited for the pastor to pause during the sermon to pass gas on the wooden pews. And it would rumble through the whole house. My cousin Wayne and I, we would play Matchbox cars on the pew, wooden pew, no pads, on the wooden pew, play back and forth until my uncle would walk down the aisle, grab me by the ear and twist it off and take me to the back, sit me down, and then he'd look at me and I knew I was a dead man. And then when I got home, if it was not warm enough in church, it got really warm at home. Why? Because we were taught to honor the presence of the Lord. We were taught to respect the house of God. We were taught to respect and honor. Even though God does not dwell in here, the Bible says where two or three are gathered there, he will be in the midst. But even though that God doesn't dwell in here, we use this edifice, we use this building as the honor to our King, to where we come and we worship him, long for him, great chase after him, and wait for his presence to be revealed. You see, this is the honor we've got to get back to. I'm not talking about suits. I don't want to wear a tie again. I don't believe Jesus made ties. In fact, Jesus wore a skirt, and I'm not wearing one of those either. Hallelujah. But it comes down to not what you're wearing, but the condition of our heart, to where we're either honoring God or we're just simply going to church. Jesus did not create church. He created a family where the presence of the Father was to be present and to be revealed, where everybody, when the Father stood at the end of the table, everyone paid attention to what Daddy was going to say. Why? Because he was not just a patriarch. He was the king of that house, and it's time to get back to recognizing our God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and if you want to create an atmosphere, you've got to have honor in the house. Can I hear an amen? Honor is everything. Honor brings access. You see, in the old covenant, what they would do when they wanted the presence of the Lord, Elisha, great prophet of the Lord, when he was asked by Jehoshaphat to prophesy concerning what was going to happen to the children of Israel, and this is found in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, and this is what he did. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. You see, the prophet of God knew that there had to be an atmosphere for God to show up and speak. It hasn't changed. But yet we have so simply gotten to our American ways that we just go to church. And God is saying, no, if you want me to show up, because there are a lot of churches that God don't show up at. If you want me to show up, create an atmosphere to where I want to be present. You see, as he is the king, we have to prepare for him. He doesn't prepare for us. Oh, Holy Ghost, let that sit and seat in Jesus' name. When Saul called David, you see, Saul had a problem, and that was he disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, an evil spirit came upon him. When that demonic spirit would come upon Saul, King Saul, what he would do is this. He would call David, and he would say, David, I need you to play me a song. And as David was moving in the anointing, as David was moving in the presence of the Lord, that spirit, that evil spirit upon Saul would be calm. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they were beaten down, man. They had every reason to complain, every reason to whine. Where's God when you need him? Where's God? I thought God was going to show up. I'm in this prison because of God. I don't understand where he is. If he was really God, as he said he was, he would never have allowed us to be in this place. And look at my back. We're not just in prison. We're in the lowest depth of the prison. There are rats down here, feces down here, urine down here. There's nothing to eat down here. But you see, they learned something. If you want the presence of God to show up in your life, if you want the anointing of God to show up in your life, if you want God to deliver you, it's not the complaining that makes you free. It's when you learn how to create the atmosphere where you start to worship him. And as you start to worship him in spirit and in truth, the God of heaven will show up in that prison. And when God shows up in that prison, there are no bars that are too strong. Come on now. There's no depth that is too deep. There is no problem that God can't handle. He is the King of Kings, and we've got to get back to the principle. Jesus, I need your presence. When I come to church, this is what I ask him. What's your mood? He's not an it. He's God. God has a mood. Sometimes his mood is just, woohoo! Sometimes his mood is quiet. Sometimes his mood is convicting. Sometimes his mood is just peace. When you and I are creating the atmosphere of God, it's not what we want God to do. He's already God. It's tapping into the atmosphere that God wants to create in his own house so that we will be receptive when he's ready to move. You see, there are many that become bystanders. There are many that become watchers. There are many that are wooed and weighed and swayed by the miracles and signs and wonders. There are many that are swayed even by the preaching of the word. You see, in the book of John chapter 6, Jesus had many followers. But when Jesus said a hard saying, this is what happened. They all left him but the disciples. You see, it wasn't just that Jesus was God walking on this planet, but he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He spent time time with the Father. He got the atmosphere of God created, and then God would show up on the scene. And when God showed up on the scene, miracles, signs, and wonders. But you see, if that's all you're after, then that's the wrong atmosphere. You never seek after what he can do. You seek after him. And when you seek after him, he always shows up. And when he shows up, no matter what your need is, in that atmosphere, there's nothing he can't do. You see, this is where you and I have to pay attention, because it's not just getting the atmosphere to come, it's maintaining the atmosphere. I'm better now, but I had serious problems with foot and mouth disease. I would say things that were really bad. And you know, I'm better. But you know, I'm going to get in trouble. No, I got to. My wife and I would be on a romantic dinner. And man, everything's going good. Good atmosphere. Love is in the air. It's beautiful. And you know, when I was young, I was really not smart. And I remember one time looking at her and say, boy, you know, that fits real tight. I want you to realize that atmospheres can change quickly. Death is in the air. One minute is beautiful. One minute is romantic. The atmosphere is set for love. And with just a sentence, death comes. Now I want you to know that it wasn't, don't throw water at me. It wasn't the wife who set the bad atmosphere. I changed the atmosphere. It's not just getting the atmosphere, it's maintaining the atmosphere so the presence of the Lord can remain. Can I hear an amen? I can't hear you. Can I hear an amen? You see, we can drive away the presence of God. I remember one time I was down in Long Island, and I was preaching the gospel, and some of you have heard the testimony before, but it was a powerful miracle. And I had a word of knowledge in the service that there was somebody having problems with their left shoulder. And, excuse me. Yeah. No. Right shoulder. I have to identify. Right shoulder. Yeah. Right shoulder. I don't know. I haven't had a car like that. When you shifted, which arm was that? Remember the old days when it shifted on the column? Okay, right shoulder. So I had a word of knowledge that somebody had a problem with their right shoulder. And this woman, it was like the moment I gave the word of knowledge, crickets started to sound. You know, I'm standing there going, if that's you, you need to come forward. No, really, if that's you, you need to come forward, because I look really stupid right now. I know I heard from God. If that's you, come forward. And a woman finally stood up. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I knew it was a word of knowledge. She came up and her shoulder was like this. And she got healed and touched. And I said, well, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I was born with this birth defect. And I said, if God can heal this person, God can heal you. And I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. And she walked out exactly the same way she came in. Well, the next night was another night of service, and she told us the testimony. She actually drove into the wrong parking lot. She was a guest at this church and realized she was in the wrong parking lot, and without thinking, reached up with her right arm and shifted it in reverse, and God completely set her free from a birth defect and completely restored her shoulder, her arm, and it was a great miracle before the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. When she gave that testimony, that church was supercharged. Man, it was just during worship. Everybody was shouting and dancing, and I remember there was an individual that was believing God for a supernatural miracle, and she was just shouting and dancing all around the front of the altar. And man, a guy stood up in the middle of all of that and said, hey, the Lord would say unto thee. You do know God doesn't prophesy in King James Version. The Lord would say unto thee that thou shalt not take away from my presence, for thou art worshiping in the flesh and dancing in the flesh, and the Lord rebuke you. Well, let me tell you something. The presence of God, the supercharged faith anointing that was there for people to receive miracles went like this. And I looked at the preacher and said, you take care of him or I will. I said, sir, sit down and be quiet. You're out of order. Not only out of order, you just chased the Holy Ghost out of the house. I looked at everybody and said, okay, let's recharge the atmosphere with Christ. And we started worshiping again, and the anointing started to increase, and the presence of God started to increase, and God started to move and change. Well, that guy left the church, of course, but that's okay. I was all right with that. You see, we've got to recognize that you can disrespect the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. He is a he. And the Holy Spirit expects respect. He's God. I taught this to my children. You will not disrespect me. I put Chad over my knee at 17 years old. It didn't hurt him, probably hurt me more. But I refuse to allow disrespect in my house. Why is that? Because I'm the king of that house. I'm the provider in that house. The Lord has set me in that house. And God knows no kid of mine is going to disrespect me in my house. Now, that's a problem we have in today's world. We have a lot of children that are very disrespectful. You need to whoop their hind ends in the name of Jesus. Well, I don't believe in that. Well, then you don't believe in the Bible. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Listen, I got spankings. I still got calluses. But I turned out all right. The fact is we're raising generations of not only children, but adults that don't respect. So what happens? We come to the house of the Lord and we're not respectful in the house of the Lord. We're chatting with everybody, talking with everybody, laughing with everybody, passing gas in the pew. Listen, this is not an airplane or an elevator. This is where God is being exalted in the house. And when God is exalted, his presence comes. But many people are disrespectful to God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve means to offend him. You can offend God. You can offend God so much, just like that man did. You can offend him that God will go just like this, shoop, gone. And this comes down to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not fear, fear, honor. When you honor somebody, listen, when you honor somebody and you respect somebody, you treat them with that honor and that respect. Listen, you want the presence of the Lord in your house? When you start honoring him, when you start respecting him, oh, Jesus, yeah, I just saw that. Lord, help me not to reject it in Jesus' name. Because when you can sit in this sermon and still be disrespectful, may the Lord rebuke you. God help you. Oh, I just sense the anointing all over that. What God wants to do is bring his presence, but he refuses to be grieved in his own house. I've seen people, I've watched people. Well, you know, I can't deal with the disrespect. I'm leaving. Listen, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. But God, because this is not his house, we are his house, refuses to be disrespected by his own people. Now, if he was just a dude, if he was just a buddy, if he was just a nice guy, just Santa Claus, then whatever. But when he is high and lifted up and his train fills the temple, he is the I am that I am, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who was and is to come. When he is truly the king, you cannot disrespect him and expect him to remain where your presence is. He walks away. And man, that's powerful. We don't teach that in the church because we want everybody to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Love, 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 love. Listen, part of love is discipline. The Bible says if God doesn't love you, he don't discipline you. There are times we've got to line ourselves up because we've got so much religion in us that we've got to get those cows out of our life. We've got to get back to God's power and God's presence. We've got to say, Jesus, with all of my getting, I've got to get you. With everything that I have, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to make you angry. God, I want to make you disappointed. Father, I want my heart to be pure before you. Pure before you in Jesus' name. That, Lord, I will honor you when your presence comes. Ooh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? Extinguish. Suppress. I told my staff, the Bible says the Spirit is subject to the prophet. And that's why God's presence doesn't show up in a lot of churches. Because the pastor doesn't want the presence of the Lord. He just wants the salary at the end of the day. That's why they preach their 20-minute little sermonettes to make everybody happy. When there's no conviction in the house of God, it's not the house of God. Well, I'm going to say it one more time. When there's no conviction in the house of God and it's all just lick me, touch me, make me feel good, and you're not in church, you're actually in a house of hell, because you'll be lulled to sleep and die and wake up on the wrong side of eternity. I felt Jesus in that whole thing. It's not even in my notes. I'll just leave it right there. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You cannot just grieve him when you drive him away. You can quench him, suppress him. I can right now make a decision as the pastor of this church that the Spirit of God will not move in this church. No matter how much you want God, I can make a decision as the one he's placed in authority over this house to stop the move of God. I talked to a man. In fact, he's coming here in September. Joyce Meyer's pastor. He was here last year. Powerful man of the Spirit. But one of his testimonies is this. He said, Pastor, our church began to grow exponentially. He said, wow, it was awesome. And he said, I wanted to make the church more people friendly, so I told the Holy Spirit he was not allowed to move on Sunday mornings. Oh, listen now. You don't want me to drop names of churches that do not allow the Holy Spirit to move on Sunday morning because they don't want to drive their people out. Because a lot of you listen to these people. He said all of a sudden, now he grew up in Pentecost, all of a sudden he realized the presence of the Lord was not in the house anymore. Now, I have this video, I have this testimony on video. So it's not just somebody slipping off my head. And he said to me this. He said, I realized I made a horrible mistake. And he said, I started to repent. God, forgive me. Forgive me for asking you not to show up on Sunday morning. Forgive me for not allowing your spirit to move as he wills. Forgive me, God, for extracting the atmosphere for you to move in this place. And he said, even after repentance, it took over 2 years for the presence of the Lord to return the way it was before. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Many of us sit back in our own lifestyle. We live any way we want to. We say anything we desire to. We drink anything that's put before us. And it's time for us to shake ourselves and realize that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And if you want the anointing, you want the atmosphere of God, you've got to make some decisions. I choose God even over sin. Oh my goodness, this is a powerful portion. This one right here just jumped in my spirit as I was studying it out. You see, sin will drive away the presence of the Lord. Genesis chapter 3, I'm almost done. Verse 8, it's Adam and Eve. I want to remind you, they walked in the presence of God. They lived in the presence of God because God's presence was the predominant posture of God in the Garden of Eden. But every day, God would come down and walk with them personally. They sinned. They chose not to obey God. You do know that obedience is a mandatory in God's kingdom. Well, that's all right for three of you to say. I said it's mandatory to obey God. You can't see him, but this is the respect value that I taught my children. If you can't respect the Father who you can see, you'll never respect the Father who you cannot. If you won't obey the Father you can see, you'll never obey the Father whom you cannot. You might not get immediate consequences from your natural father, and you expect that from your eternal father. You might not get the consequence of death, for the wages of sin is death, but you will reap the consequences of the retracted presence of the Lord. Ooh. Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now this was their time with him. And Adam said to his wife, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. You see, when there's sin in your life, you're either going to respond with repentance or you're going to start hiding yourself from the presence. Because when you are in the presence of the Lord, there is conviction. So the only way to deal with conviction is to extract yourself from that atmosphere. Oh my goodness. You wouldn't believe how many people leave this church and go to another church for one reason. Because they won't feel conviction. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I don't mind making you uncomfortable. I don't mind telling you the word that's not going to make you always happy. Can I hear an amen? I want you and I to have the greatest blessing about all that heaven has to give. And that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want God's presence in my life more than I want anything else. Can I hear an amen? You see, Cain felt this same thing. You got to hear what Cain said. The consequence of killing his brother was this. Genesis chapter 4, 13 and 14. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground," watch now, "and I shall be hidden from your face." The greatest loss that Cain saw was that he would not be in the presence of God. Oh my goodness, Jesus. Oh, I just got a sight of eternity. You will not be in the presence of God again. This was the greatest loss that Cain had in his life, is that he could not be in the presence of God again. Oh my goodness. So many of us don't care about the presence of the Lord. We'll live any way we want, do anything we want, and we don't care if God shows up in our lives. Dear Jesus, God, change our hearts. Change our hearts from stone to soft, oh God. Change our hearts, Jesus, that we'll want your presence more than anything else in our lives. Oh, I can't even finish. Every one of us are making a choice today. In Ezekiel chapter 47, 3 through 5, it talks about levels of his presence. ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, or swimming in his presence. Many of us are okay with less than ankle deep. Again, this is the problem with the Church of America. It's not the lack of church attendance. It's not the lack of tithing. It's the lack of wanting God. It's the lack of wanting his presence. It's that the love of the world is more fulfilling than the love of God. And we've got to come to repentance in our lives. Every one of us individually, we've got to come to repentance in our lives. If Jesus is not number one in your life, then what is? What if God came to your life today and extracted everything that was before him? That's what he did to Israel, by the way. Can you imagine if today he came to your life and your significant other's gone because they were your God? Your business gone. Your children gone. Your house gone. What would happen in our lives if God eradicated that one thing in our life that was before him? You see, God is a jealous God. Oh, not another positive gospel. I'll give you the true gospel. God is a jealous God, and he's jealous for his children. He's jealous that he will be number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We've got to get back to loving God more than anything else in our life. We've got to pursue the presence. We've got to practice the presence. God, I don't want to be ankle deep. God, I don't want to be knee deep. God, I don't want to be waist deep. God, I want to swim. I want to be so overwhelmed in your presence that God, no matter where I am, if a sinner is around, conviction will come. Lord, draw the miracle, draw the signs and wonders, because your presence is evident in my life. Oh man, in the presence of the Lord, time stops. In the presence of the Lord, your needs are met. In the presence of the Lord, revelation is released. In the presence of the Lord, relationships are deepened. In the presence of the Lord, his voice becomes clearer. In the presence of the Lord, direction is proclaimed. Lord Jesus, we need your presence. We need your presence, Jesus. To some of you, I just preached another sermon. Oh, I pray for you. One thing you'll learn quickly about this preacher is I'm not here to preach a little sermon. If I was, I wouldn't be here. I'm here because the Holy Spirit sent me to this region, sent us to this region, to proclaim who he is and to foster an atmosphere that any sinner can walk in that back door and know their sins can be forgiven. That the sick, they'll know that God is the healer. That the depressed will know that he came to set the captives free. That those addicted will be broken free in Jesus' name. For he who the Son has set free is free indeed. It's time to recognize that it's the presence of the Lord that produces that. It's the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord that produces that. Not church. And what produces that in this building is not the preacher. It is the people. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? You see, what I love about the presence of the Lord is that you can have it no matter where you are if you're born again. You can have it in the middle of the night when everybody else is asleep. You can have it driving in your car. You can have the presence of the Lord flood your shower. You can have the presence of the Lord when you're at a baseball game. You can have the presence of the Lord while you're at work. Makes work go by better. You can have the presence of the Lord permeating every piece of your house. But that doesn't just happen because that's an environment. What changes an environment is the atmosphere. And today, I want to teach you how to do this. I'm going to make everybody uncomfortable this morning. If you're a guest, I apologize. Not really. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have us all stand this morning. Now, we're going to take some time to worship. I want you to not stay in your seat. Hear me now. I'm personally asking you not to remain in your seat. I want you to find a new place. It doesn't need to be up front. And I don't want you within 10 feet of the person you're sitting next to. What? I want to separate you from everything you would call safe. And I want to introduce to you the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, today we're going to worship. For the service, if you need to go, you can leave. People are. But I want to foster the presence of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere of God. And I want you to say this with me. Let's move quickly so we can pray and then get to worship. You ready? Here we go. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I'm new at this, but I need you to teach me. I want to be in your presence. I not only want to think about your presence, I want to feel your presence. So today, I ask that as I get sin of my life, that Jesus, my heart, my mind, will be focused only on you. Life will continue when this service is over, but this is your time, your moment. And I choose to create an atmosphere for you inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him together. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. I don't understand this. I'm uncomfortable. I've got a roast in the oven. What about my kid? What about the guest I brought? Listen, they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. You got to arrest your brain from running rampant. It doesn't have the right to do that. Bring every thought into captivity is what the scripture says. That's your very first lesson on being able to generate the presence of the Lord. You cannot allow your brain to do whatever it wants. It's got to be subjected to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, some of you are watching people raise their hands. What does that mean? If I came with a gun, stuck it in your chest, and I said, stick them up, give me all your money. What are you going to do? You're going to lift your hands up. It's an outward expression of surrendering that's in your heart. It's not weird or freakish. It's an outward expression. If you're a spouse or you love somebody, you kiss them. Why do you kiss them? Well, I can just telepathically tell them that I love them. Yeah, you're going to get real far in your marriage. You got to tell them that you love them. And when you kiss them, it's an outward expression of your love for them. This is what worship is. and it creates the atmosphere. Holy Spirit, get ready. Holy Spirit. Come on, are you ready? Come on, you don't need music. Come on, start worshiping. Start talking to him. Come on. Come on. This is how it works right here. This is why you can do it anywhere. 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 Hallelujah. God is healing somebody in their right jaw. There's a tooth. I think four from the back, and God is healing that. You feel the pain down into your jaws. Another individual, you have a woman in the house, your right ovary is being healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're setting us free as we're worshiping you. There's the presence. We worship you, Jesus.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
I pray you'll flood every single one that's in this room. Lord, you, O up, makes the gospel alive. Lord, we repel religion and we run after you. Our hearts, God, are after you. God is healing somebody's right lung. There's pain just under the breast, inside, underneath the rib cage. It's the lungs. God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. There's another individual. You have pain that shoots up over your left eyebrow, dead center, from your nose to the left eyebrow. There's the anointing. Go. Father, I thank you that you are in this house. God, hear us clearly and plainly. You will never have to say to this house, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens a door, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus, you will never be locked out of your own house. We want you with everything we have. Lord, the world will call us strange. The church world will call us strange. You're Jesus freaks. You're this and you're that. Father, we take all of that with great compliment. For Lord, the only thing that's going to last in eternity is what we have with you. And so, Lord Jesus, teach us your presence. As the service is ending, you're saying, well, I didn't feel nothing. Well, that means you need to learn. Number one, every day. And everybody has their own little different times of quiet time where you and Jesus just chat. You need to get the sin out of your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God will not come when there is sin in your life. I got to say this again, please. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven from the presence of the Lord. There's that grace movement that's permeated the body of Christ that says you can live any way you want. And everything is good. It's a lie. You cannot live any way you want, or you would be the king. How many of you realize you're not really a good king? Because you can't heal the wing of a fly. Never mind create it. There's only one king. When you get the sin out of your life, what happens is this. Then you have open access. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the temple veil was ripped from top to bottom. We could come into the Holy of Holies anytime we want. The Bible makes a declaration that we have the right to come before the throne of God boldly and give our petitions to him. This is what I want you to do. This is called practicing the presence of the Lord. I want you to practice all day today. You could be anywhere and sense the presence of the Lord. No, literally. It could be any situation, any time. Sometimes you'll see me do this. Ready? It's how I bring my brain in captivity. The reason I do that is, be quiet. I'm going to get God. You and I, the sons and daughters of the Most High, he wants you to live in his presence. No, I didn't say visit his presence. I said live in his presence. And this comes as we practice. Amen? We practice the presence of the Lord. The world is going to be gone quickly. No, really. We just heard the latest prophetic news. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth was down in Georgia. And as he was down in Georgia, he walked into a room with Brother... What was Pastor... Pastor Merrick Hupton from Georgia. Walked into the room and the Holy Spirit told Brother Ted, that man's an Ethiopian and he used to guard the Ark of the Covenant. And so, y'all know Brother Ted, he walked over to the man and he says, the Lord shows me you're Ethiopian and that you used to guard the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, are you CIA? He was a man that was guarding the Ark of the Covenant in Ethiopia. And because of the danger, he escaped to America and he lives in Georgia. Just recently, they moved the Ark of the Covenant from Ethiopia back to Jerusalem. Many people don't know, but the tabernacle will be rebuilt for the first 3.5 years for them to worship that way in the end times. In 1984, they shipped over the four cornerstones from the Midwest here in America. They found what's called the red heifer. Many people don't know what that is. It's a pinnacle sacrifice that was mandatory for the children of Israel. They could not find the purebred red heifer. And decades ago, they found it, and they've been reproducing them at mass levels. Why? Because the end times are right here. Jesus is coming, and it could be today. There's no lie, man. When the tabernacle makes its way to Jerusalem, hello. We're seeing stuff that is all set up for the Antichrist to come. I'm not a fearmonger. I'm telling you facts. And so, church, some of you are just piddling around with your toes in the presence of the Lord. Some of you are ankle deep. It's time to go deeper. Some of you need to go deeper. In fact, you all need to go deeper. Practice the presence of the Lord. Get used to the presence of the Lord. And hunger for Him like you've never hungered before. And I want you to know something. He promises He'll fill you. I love that. You can't hunger for God and not get full. And when God fills you, guess what happens? You don't get satisfied, you get more hungry. I love that. When you start getting full of God, you don't get full, you get more hungry. And then He keeps filling you. And you get more and more and more. This has nothing to do with your spiritual age. This has nothing to do with your background. This has to do with one thing, your heart. And I challenge you to want God more than this world, and you'll always be fulfilled. Amen. Father, I thank You for Jesus. Lord, thank You for allowing us to come to hear Your house today and practice Your presence. Lord, always know this. We want Your atmosphere to be perfect for You, the King, to come to. Lord, we ask You to forgive us in Jesus' name. As a song that says, we've made it worship so many things, but we want to make it back to You. Come back to the heart of worship, and that is the presence of the Lord. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you're not exactly sure what's going on, but one thing you know is that you want the real God that we're talking about. If that's you this morning, when we dismiss, I'm going to ask you to meet me. I'm going to stand right over here on the left, your right-hand side of the sanctuary, and I want you to come right out of your chair. Be bold when we release the service. Be bold and get up front, and we're going to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have and the presence that will change your life. Amen. Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. Thank You for the atmosphere of worship. Thank You for the atmosphere of honor. Where honor is, there is access. We open the access. We rebuke all sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak right now to that person having intestinal problems that's dead center, 3 inches up from the belt line. I curse it in Jesus' name. I command right now a brand new portion to be created for the glory of heaven. Lord, in Jesus' name, I declare that no sickness or disease, no maiming, no wounding has a right in the children of God. I declare that we shall prosper in all things and be in good health, even as we prosper. And I declare the devil will not have us. They'll not have our children. They'll not have our grandchildren. Lord, I declare it to the fifth generation for the glory of God. And I declare that we are blessed going in and blessed going out, blessed in our storehouse, blessed in our basket. And Jesus, with all of our getting, we will get You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you. Have an awesome day. If you need Jesus as your Savior, meet me up front right now. We want to pray with you, lead you to the best friend you'll ever have.